Hello everyone, I'm Abstract, and thank you for joining me on another selection in the Abstract section. Now, today I wanted to talk about taking risks, getting things done that you probably would be too afraid to do, and a little bit about being cautious, right? So, it's very important in life that you do things that you probably wouldn't consider doing at the time or at the space or at the level of life that you're in. Why is this important? Number one, because if you live life not taking risks or doing things that you see yourself failing in, you're not going to grow fast enough. And growing fast or getting a lot of experience faster is important, especially if you're someone like me and you're early 20s. I'm only turning 23 this September. I'm very early 20s. So it's best now that I take a lot of risk and do things that, you know, won't kill me down the road, but do things that at least let me know what's ahead of me. For example, right now, I have me and a couple of my friends looking to invest in Airbnb, you know? So we're learning all the financial stuff. We're learning how to look up loans. We just applied for a couple credit cards. Two of us got approved. We're working on the third one and all that other stuff. This is a very big risk because we won't really have anyone mentoring us. We'll just be going off of the things that we've researched and what we know. So the positive thing about this now, we get 100% experience because we're doing it on our own. But this also means we get 100% the blame, the failure, the fallback. I mean, not the fallback, yeah. The blame and the failure, though. We get 100% of that. Why? Well, because we made the decision. It was our choice to do this. So when finding the thing to take a chance on, you want to make sure it's something that you can either handle alone, or if you have a small team, you can all handle together. Like, I probably would not have it invested in this Airbnb stuff so much if I were to do it alone. I would most likely do something that I think I can manage alone. For example, I was looking up a couple self-business starters. You could start with just like $1,000, and I saw these guys like investing in soda machines and vending machines, and I was like, you know, that's really not a bad idea. The vending machines are only about like $1,000 to $2,000, so honestly, a couple paychecks you could save up and get one of those. And I was like, you know what, if I wasn't doing this Airbnb stuff, I would probably invest in the vending machine thing. Just because it's a cash flow, number one, meaning that it's an asset that like pays for itself and also pays you in the long run. But you would have to get at least like 5 to 6 to see any really, really, like really good revenue monthly. So, but yeah. Now, about being cautious. Being cautious is, you know, within human nature, because we want to preserve ourselves, we want to preserve our pride, we want to preserve how we look to other people. People are so wrapped up around not failing and not taking big steps that could financially save them. And I mean literally save, not help, save. Think about that. So yeah, all respect to the cautious people, but That time is, it has to come to an end somewhere or eventually in your life, or else you're going to be stuck, stagnant. And stagnation is not a place. It's not a form. It's a mindset, right? When you're stagnated, it means you're mentally okay. It means you're mentally want to be where you are, or you've mentally became comfortable with where you are. I don't care if you've been working the same job for 20 years. Don't let anyone tell you you're stagnant if by every paycheck for that 20 years, you're putting a little something on the side to invest in something else. That's not stagnation. All right, that's not stagnation. What stagnation is being comfortable there for 20 years, knowing you want better. That's true stagnation. So, This is really all about taking risks in investing in yourself, investing in the things that you don't think you're capable of doing. Challenge yourself, you know? In these years that I've been, the past 2 years, I want to say, I've challenged myself the most. I've challenged myself the most. I've did at least 2 to 3 jobs within the past 12 months. Them being one insurance, did Uber and Lyft for about like 2 to 3 weeks just to see if I could make a decent income if I wasn't working full time at another job. AutoNation, and what was the other place called? Someplace in Beltsville. But yeah, those were all very risky things for me to do, because two of the jobs I applied for to were commission only. And that word really scares me, because, you know, it's not a guaranteed check. And when you have bills, you'd like some security. But this Airbnb thing is not going to be a guaranteed check. There's a lot of things we got to get right before we just launch this thing. Number one being our credit. So like I said, we applied for a credit card. The goal is to have 2 credit cards for at least this part in our lives, so we can exercise, number one, the balance transfer option. Number two, to show the creditors or the lenders that we're not consumers as far as using the lines of credit. We're not consumers. We're very responsible. We know what we're doing with credit. And so, yeah, the second line of credit is going to generate a second line of credit history. So that's good. We'll probably end up using one of the credit cards strictly for gas, right? Because if you're using the same credit card for different things, let's say you buy a pair of shoes, a video game, and you eat out with it, that really just shows the credit card company that, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's just spending willy-nilly. He doesn't have a consistent line of credit for this one card. And it's not going to necessarily lower your credit score if you're paying everything on time, but you're not going to raise it by a whole lot much. So if you want it raised quickly, if you want it raised efficiently, make sure you're using one card for one thing, exercising your balance transfer option if you have 2 cards. That's what I would say for that. And also, I did just find out. So, I was listening to one of my online mentors, Brother Polite, and he pointed out that we are in a debt wealth society. Now, what this means is that the only way to become wealthy, or not the only way, let me stop that. The easiest way to become wealthy in this country would be to inherit wealth from your parents or someone above you in your generational line or whatever. So he notes that to get a car, 9 times out of 10, if you're not like already making crazy money, 9 times out of 10 you're gonna have to go in debt. If you want a house or a mortgage, mort meaning death, gauge meaning contract. So if you want a death contract for a house, and they call it a death contract because you'll be paying the house off until you die, if you want one of those, you'll have to go into what? Debt, right? If you want a good education, quote unquote a good education, because I think you can do a lot better on your own self-study. But if you want a good education via the college, universities, and school systems, what do you have to get? Debt. The only thing about that debt is you can't run away from it, and it's in your best interest to pay off your student loan debts. Any other type of debt, you can run away from. It'll disappear after 5 to 7 years. not student loan debts. They'll stick with you. They're going to show, actually, I'm not too sure if they show up on your credit report, but it'll definitely stick with you. They're not debts you can avoid easily or lightly. Excuse me. So, yes, I think I covered everything that I wanted to speak about. Taking risks, chances, debt wealth society, cautiousness. Yes. This ends the abstract section. Thank you for your time.